Bibles, turn with me to the book of Lamentations, Old Testament book right after Jeremiah. Lamentations, chapter number 3. I thank the Lord for His presence this morning. I don't have to tell you He's here. If you're in tune with the Lord, you know He's here. And He's promised to be here. And so we are grateful this morning that He has manifested Himself again in our midst, and we thank God for that. I pray that He would add His blessings to the Word that we're about to read and the message that we're going to try to preach, and I think is very important. Lamentations, chapter number 3, we'll begin reading in verse number 40. Lamentation 3 and verse 40 says, "Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. We have transgressed and have rebelled, and Thou hast not pardoned. Thou hast covered with anger and hast persecuted us. Thou hast slain, and Thou is not pitied. Thou hast covered Thyself with a cloud that our prayer should not pass through." That's a serious statement there that Jeremiah is making concerning where they are. He says, we have lifted up our hearts and our hands to the God of heaven, and He's not listened. He says the reason is because we've transgressed and we've rebelled. Then he says God is covered with anger and He's persecuted them. It's a bad thing to be persecuted by God. God hasn't even pitied them. Somebody says, oh, a loving God wouldn't do that. Well, yes, He does. And He does it because He is a loving God. So we would come back to this very first verse that has been given, verse 40 there that we read, "Let us search and try our ways and turn again." Until we realize that there are things wrong, we're not going to return to Him. Verse number 44, "Thou hast covered Thyself with a cloud that our prayer should not pass through." God hadn't even listened to their cries. Verse 45, "Thou hast made us as an offscouring and refuge in the midst of the people. All our enemies have opened their mouths against us. Fear and a snare is come upon us. Desolation and destruction. Mine eye runneth down with rivers of water for the destruction of the daughters of my people. Mine eye trickled down and ceaseth not without any intermission. Till the Lord looked down and behold from heaven. Mine eye affecteth my heart because of all the daughters of my city. My enemies chased me sore like a bird without cause. They have cut off my life in the dungeon and hast cast a stone upon me. Waters flowed over my head. Then said I am cut off." We find here in these verses the prophet of Jeremiah, which he is known as the weeping prophet. He was the man of God in the midst of a generation that had no concern about God, and it broke his heart. He was the preacher, he was the prophet of Israel, of Judah, that saw all the destruction that was coming upon them, and he says, "What I have seen is affecting my heart." You and I this morning, as we look across our country, I believe the things that we see ought to affect our heart. Someone says, "Is there any hope for America? Not without God." Are we undergoing the problems that has come about upon us from God? Very possible. Somebody said, well, give me a verse in Scripture for that. Well, there's plenty that tells us God judges His people. Just because we are living in the great land of America does not mean that we are immune to the judgments of the Lord. If Israel was not immune to them as His chosen people, I doubt very seriously that we score very high on the ladder. And so we find here Jeremiah weeping over the condition of Israel. The people had gone into captivity. The city of Jerusalem was lying in utter waste and destruction. And it was the end result of a nation that had turned their back upon God. The only reason these things happened upon Israel is because Israel said no to God. For the Lord had said, I'll bless them that bless you, I'll curse them that curse you. And as long as you are living that conditional promise of the Lord given to Israel, He says, if you love me, I'll love you back. And they had turned their back upon the Lord. That verse there, mine eye affecteth my heart. That's a thought-provoking message. Our eye gates, what we see, affect us. We are moved by the things that we see. We are disturbed by the things that we see. We are made happy by the things that our eyes behold. And Jeremiah was looking upon a nation that just did not care. And I believe he was looking upon a nation that had no concern and was very selfish, and now God has judged them. I believe there's a great need in our churches in America. And I'm not talking about mainline churches. I'm talking about churches that believe God. For I believe that's really the only churches there are. They may have name of church, but that doesn't mean they are one. I believe the great need in our churches today is a need of a revival of tears and compassion and understanding. And Jeremiah's tears came upon him because of what he saw. I wonder this morning how many of us are really troubled at what we see in our country. Well, we talk about it, we make statements about it, but are we really concerned about it? Has it really affected our heart yet? So I want us to think this morning upon the title of the message, A Tearless Generation. I believe we are living in a generation that is so self-centered and very selfish that we have no or very little concern for anybody except me and myself. Maybe my four no more. And we are living in a generation that as long as I'm doing okay, it doesn't matter about anybody else. That ought not to be the attitude of a child of God. Now that's the attitude of the world, and we ought not be shocked at that. We should never be shocked at what the world does, the lost people around. We should never be shocked at the how low they will go, or how wicked they will be, or how disturbing they might do in some of their actions and their deeds, because that's their nature. But that is not and should not be the nature of the child of God. We should have a compassionate heart on certain things. And sometimes our thoughts are just so self-centered. And many times as a Christian, we get caught up in that and we move through the mechanics of living and we do it without any heartfelt compassion and we think we're doing okay and then all of a sudden things are not going so well. And Jeremiah expressed this. He said, "Oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people," Jeremiah 9:1. Jeremiah was a prophet of God that had the message of God that was hated by God's people. And so we ought not be too shocked when sometimes we're hated because of our message. Our message is not well received and it's becoming less received all the time. Our message is not what it used to be as far as how people perceive us. The lost world looks at us like a bunch of archaic old fogies that are not with it. Well, we may be not with it in some things, and I don't want to be with it in some things. But I'll tell you what, I want to be with it with this book. And I find myself faltering so many times. And what I see in the heart of my soul, sometimes I get so disgusted with me that that you wonder, how in the world could God use us? How in the world could God do things for us? And it ought to bring us to our knees. It ought to bring us to the depths of our soul and to realize that our tears are important, that our heart needs to be broken. Even our Lord wept over Jerusalem, and He also wept over His friend Lazarus. And if the Lord could weep, so can we, and so should we. Weeping may endure for a night, but thank God joy cometh in the morning. Where we are right now is just a little night time. It's a night session, but there's a morning coming. There's a great day coming. There's a glorious day coming for the child of God, and the weeping will be over, and the Scripture says He'll wipe away all tears from our eyes. God sees our tears. He said to Hezekiah there in Isaiah 38 and verse 5, God said to him, He said, I've heard thy prayer and I've seen thy tears. And then He said, He gives this promise to Hezekiah, and I'm going to add 15 years to your life. Now there's two things there God made note of. He said, I've heard your prayer and I've seen your tears. Seems like that might be important. God called attention to that. So God sees our tears. God remembers our tears. In Psalm 56, verse 8, says, Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in a book? Oh, God remembers everything about us. He knows all there is to know, and He remembers even the tears of our life and the problems that come our way. And thank God they're in His book. My record's on high. As I said a while ago, Revelation 21 and verse 4, that last great chapter of Revelation, tells us that one day the tears are going to be wiped away. They're going to be gone. Now, it's going to take a while. It's going to take just a little bit of time for our tears to be removed, because I believe there will be tears in heaven despite what the song says. The song says, no tears in heaven. Oh, yes, there will be tears in heaven. And if there wasn't, they wouldn't be there to wipe away. And so we need to realize this morning, this generation in which we're living is a generation that does not exercise this thing of crying or tears. For some unknown reason, we feel like that crying or tears makes us look weak. But nowhere in the Scripture do we find that. You're not going to find the Bible say, if thou weep, thou art weak. It doesn't say that. The Bible tells us that our hearts need to be moved by the conditions of life and the people around us and the things that are taking place around us. And it ought to move us to the point that our eyes, what we see, affect us. And then Jeremiah said, my eyes are like fountains of water. Jeremiah, the prophet that was weeping continually for his people, for he saw the destruction, he saw the reason for the destruction, he saw why it happened, he saw all the things about it, but yet they refused to do what God said, and Jeremiah cried for them. There are some things in which we should weep for. Now these are not, this is not a shouting message. For sure. Because when we think of some of these things, we say, oh my. Or maybe we say, oh no. We should weep because of our own personal sin. Now don't get alarmed. I'm not going to confess to you my personal sin. Neither will you confess it to me. You don't have to. Thank God we don't have a priest. We have a high priest. But we need to be concerned. Ezra chapter 9 says, O Lord God of Israel, Thou art righteous, for we remain yet escaped. As it is this day, behold, we are before Thee in our trespass. Ezra said, we come before You in our sin. For we cannot stand before Thee because of this. Now, when Ezra had prayed, and when he had confessed, weeping and casting himself down before the house of God, they assembled unto him, out of Israel a very great congregation of men, women, and children. For the people wept very sore. Ezra called it to the attention of the people that we are coming before you even in the midst of our transgressions. Even in the midst of our sins, we're coming to you, God, and because we can't stand, we can't do this, we can't stand before you because of this. Maybe Ezra felt the same as Jeremiah felt. Maybe Ezra said, there's a cloud that separated us and you don't even hear our prayer. Well, we remember our sin. Peter remembered the words of Jesus which he had said unto him before the cock crew, and thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. So there's weeping all through the Scripture. There's weeping everywhere. We see today in our society, our generation, that sin really isn't sin. It's just a bad mistake. It's just a problem. It's a medical thing, and we can cure it with a pill. We probably wouldn't want to know all the people we meet down the highway that's hyped up on pills. The Bible's really not true anymore. You know that? Why, it doesn't really matter. Well, that old book, it's out of date. It's archaic. It's nothing that we need. So the Bible isn't right anymore. That's what they say. And that's what they believe. We may not realize it. We may not want to admit it, but we are a minority this morning in our country that believe this book. America of 2012 is not the America of 1960, 70, 80. We made a bad turn back in the 60s and 70s. And buddy, we're paying the dues. Well, we made some bad turns a long time before that. But it culminated in, we don't need the Bible, we don't need prayer, we don't believe that life is really life, and we've made some. Our nation's leader have made some choices that have took us down the road to destruction. And now, for the most part, everybody that's in power believe that instead of what is right. We don't have people that no longer, as the Bible says in Job chapter 2 and verse 3, Job eschewed evil. He hated evil. I showed a picture the other day of our Secretary of State, and probably she was drunk. I said probably. I don't know for a fact. But I wouldn't want to bet the other way. And some of the news commentators, oh, she's just having a good time. Yeah. No longer hates evil. We have leadership in our country. We have leadership from the top down that hates everything this book stands for. And it ought to affect our heart. In 3 years, there has not been one thing that I have agreed with when they make statements. I mean, they highlight wickedness. They highlight sin. They have their parties. They have their to-dos. That all it is a drunken party. And one of these days, they may be like old Belshazzar was, and one day they see the handwriting on the wall and it may fall that day. Do we wonder why we're in such a turmoil and a mess this morning in our country? It's because we do not believe God. We should weep for our children. You Jesus told the daughters of Jerusalem, He says there in Luke 23, "Weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children." You know why? Because there's problems coming and your children are going to pay for it. The Jews said, "Let this be upon our hands and our children's children to the fourth generation. Let the blood be on their hands." And buddy, they've suffered because of that. We should weep for our children because of the sinful society that they're subjected to. I mean, you can't turn on a radio unless you hear something. Somebody said, "Well, we'll turn off the TV and do that." Well, turn it all off. You just about have to live like a hermit or be subjected to wickedness everywhere you go. For you folks that work out in the public, you can't even go to work without hearing it. And things are set out in the open that used to would have been whispered in a closet. And it used to be the men do it. Now the women are more objectable than the men are. What a society. We should weep for our children. These teenagers here, I have no idea what all they face and what they hear. And it does not matter how much we try to protect them, they're still going to hear it. We might as well take the lid off and realize that they're going to hear it. And they're going to be subjected to it. And they're going to be peer pressured to it. There are folks in here this morning that have been peer pressured to do things. And when I was a younger person, I was pressured to do things because that was the thing to do, to be in the crowd. And it's 110% worse now than it was then. And knowing all along, don't do that. The problem is today, a lot of our young folks down here in the schools, they don't have the background that we had. We had the background of this book. The majority of young people now don't have that. And no wonder they live like animals and act like brute beasts. Sinful society. We ought to weep for our children because of the lack of godly examples. And if there's one out there, he's lambasted down to nothing. I heard this morning, some of you may have heard it on Fox, NASCAR race driver, he had a certain, I can't think of his name now, his support was pulled because he made certain statements on his website about being a Christian. Don't think the battle's there, not there. It is there. You think of men that will stand and proclaim their godliness. That should be our children's heroes. But really and truly, we ought not to have one hero, and that be Jesus Christ. Because every man you pick out, he's going to have a problem. He's going to have something in there that's not right. And as much as we lift them up and we thank God for them, they're still men and we should not idolize. Oh, but lack of godly examples. We should weep for our children because of the lackadaisical lukewarmness of Christians. Guilty. I'm glad we have every once in a while the Lord show up and just help us. But that's an encouragement. I'd hate to come to church every Sunday and never feel the presence of the Lord. It's hard enough feeling the presence of the Lord. But the attitude and the lukewarmness of so many people, they need to weep. We need to weep for our brethren. We need to pray for others as they stand and as they proclaim. I know that Grace Baptist Church is not the only church that stands on truth. Thank God we're not the only one. We're not like Elijah and God had to bring him down saying, oh, there's 7,000 more that haven't bowed their knee to Baal. But there's not many and we need to pray one for another. Well, I don't agree. Well, it doesn't matter if you agree with every little jot and tittle. Just pray for them. Sometimes I don't agree with me. I'll say something and say, you idiot, that's not right. So don't nitpick every little detail about somebody. Just because they don't do everything the way we do or the way that what you do or just because they handle a situation different, don't mean they're wrong. Pray for them as God's people that they'll stand. I've got some good brethren, good friends, that when we talk about some things in this book, we differ a whole lot. But they're still my friends because they believe this book. And this is the foundation. Somebody says, what camp do you fall in? I don't like camping. Some of you do, that's fine. I don't like camping, so I'm not in anybody's camp. You mean you don't like? No, I don't like it. I like to sleep in my bed. I like my air conditioning. I like my utensils. I don't like roughing it. Somebody says, I'm going to go on vacation, go camping. Go for it. But so many times we nitpick, well, are you in this group? Are you in that group? Are you over here with this group? Do you believe this or you believe that? Well, you can pick out every little detail. I guarantee you, I can have this crew right here and this crew right here and this crew right here and before the days are, I have you arguing with each other. I don't want to do that. I don't want a referee. A referee's always getting in trouble. But we need to weep over our brethren and pray for them and ask God to bless and help them and give them strength to stand against the wickedness and the wiles of this world in which we live. I could give you all kinds of examples. I think I've lived most of them. We should weep over our nation. I've already touched on that a little bit. Weep over our nation, our country. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4 came to pass. Nehemiah says, when I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before God of heaven. Why? Because of what he heard going on in Jerusalem. They may not like this. May not like to do it, and I'm just as guilty as you. But we do need to pray for those that are in authority over us. Whether we like them or don't like them, God's told us to pray for them. I think the number one prayer ought to be that they get saved, that somehow, some way, that they would hear the gospel and be turned. You don't like what they're doing, pray for them now, and then later on go to the polls and get them out. Then you don't have to pray for them anymore. That's true. America's almost the only country in the world that we have the privilege to say who rules over us. And then we sit at home and do nothing and then gripe about it because we don't like who got in. I'd vote 5 times if I didn't get caught. There's a whole lot of them vote more than that. I mean, God has given us. They say, well, my vote don't count. You go to some of these places where one or two votes makes a difference, you find out your vote does count. It does make a difference. If it don't make a difference, then maybe God might ought to just take it away from us. He just about has. We need to pray for the sinfulness of our country. Oh, today is Earth Day, by the way. Did you know that? This is Earth Day. This is when we pray to the earth. And we give honor to Mother Nature. You think God sits in the heavens and rejoices over that? The sinfulness of our country. The Word of God has been rejected and turned away from, and then you have artists paint pictures of Christ in a vase of urine and call that art. You have a wicked individual portrayed as Mary, as a harlot. That's acceptable, but don't say anything about Jesus. Don't say anything about the Lord. Don't say anything about church. Don't say anything about the Word of God, because that's not acceptable. That offends somebody. Well, I'll tell you what, that junk offends me as a believer, as a Christian. We should pray for our country, the sinfulness of our country. We need to pray for the innocent ones in our country that are suffering. Two places that our children are suffering. Really three. Two main places that our children are suffering. One of them's in the classroom. Now, we're blessed here. We have a Christian school. And we are sort of alienated from some of that. Boy, I tell you what. You hear the news, some of the stuff that goes on in our schools in our country. And they're teaching and training the next generation of leaders. It just takes a generation or two until you've lost it. And the other place that's dangerous to our children is the womb. Those are places where children are suffering and dying. And then in our homes that are without God. They're innocent. They don't know. And they're not given an opportunity to know. We should weep for the lost. And when he came near, the Bible says Jesus beheld the city and he wept over it. He said, it's like a sheep having no shepherd. It's like a city that has no direction. And as he looked over that hillside, over to the city of Jerusalem, I'm sure the Lord could see the twinkling of the candles and the lamps burning in those little houses. And the Bible says Jesus wept. How oft I would gather you, he said, but you would not. I would gather you as a hen doth gather her chickens, her brood, but you would not. And the Bible says he wept. He wept over his people. He wept over the lost. Sheep scattered, having no shepherd. I hope we don't go home and forget about this lady. They're not Christians, so it doesn't matter. Oh, but it does. Oh, they thought lightly of prayer. They might need some now. And they might appreciate it. We need to weep over the lost because hell is still a real place. It's real. We need to weep because the harvest is ready and the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he send forth, thrust forth laborers into his harvest. It's not ours, it's his. Because sinners are still dying without Christ every day. We need to pray for them. For you see, a sinner, he's depraved or she's depraved. That means he's lost, has no hope. Romans chapter number 3, I'm just going to read a few verses, and this chapter tells you how lost they are. Romans chapter 3, verse number 9, or verse number 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. That's enough right there. There is none righteous, no, not one. But Paul, as he writes to these Romans, he describes it a little better. He says, there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Now, that gets you in a lot of trouble. But I'll tell you what, an individual that's without God, left to himself, without the work of the Holy Spirit in his life, he'll never seek God. He'll not do it. You can call me what you want to, but unless God awakens an individual, they're going to die and go to hell. That's biblical doctrine. That, don't put some man's term to it. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Wow. Seems like Paul knows generations. So he tells us there's none. Then he describes them. My goodness. Their throat is an open sepulcher, or open grave. And with the tongues they have used deceit. The poison of the asp is in their lips. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Have you ever been around somebody that they could not talk, they could not give a complete sentence without some ungodly word coming out of their mouth? Their feet are swift to shed blood. They're murderers. Destruction and misery are in their ways. They'd rather have misery and destruction as happiness and joy. They'd rather see you miserable than to see you happy. There are some families that live in that kind of society, in that kind of state, that they just like to have misery all around them. They make everybody around them miserable. That's what is described here. They're depraved. The depravity. They're without righteousness. They're without understanding. They're without interest of God. They're no use to God. And God's no use to them. Their communication is terrible. The course of their life is terrible. They're swift to shed blood. They're violent. They're vindictive. They're no fear of God. They're vain in their life. They're just empty. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us and describes us to the describes them to us that they're dead in sins and trespasses. And I've gone over that enough. When you're dead, you're dead. They're dead in their sins, they're disobedient to God, and they're controlled by their deceitful lust against God. They've lived without Christ, they have no promise, they have no hope, they have no God. And they're doomed. The Bible says they're condemned already because they've not believed on the name of the Son of God. John chapter 3. The lost is subject to God's wrath. John 3:36. The wrath of God abideth upon their head. Romans 1:20. They're without excuse. Luke 16. They will perish. They'll be in hell. They'll be in torment. And they'll be without hope. I'd say we have plenty to pray for. I'd say we have plenty to weep over. Jeremiah said, my eyes are like rivers of water because of the deeds of my people. I pray that the Lord would help us this morning to have our eye affect our heart. To have our intellect that we have, that God's given us, to understand we're in a mess. We are spiritually, emotionally, physically, socially bankrupt before God. No way out. other than Him. That's it. Can we buy our way out of the mess we're in? We tried that. Now we're how many $1 trillion in debt? Can't even pay the interest to China? We're bankrupt. Can we work our way to heaven? No, we've tried that. We can't make it. Can we do all those things in the flesh? No. We can do them, but it's not going to help. And we just sit by and say, well, I believe in this next election, it'll get better. I got some oceanfront property right behind the house here. It's going to get better. It's not going to get any better. But I'll tell you what, we can survive it. And we can have joy in our soul. And we can have peace in our heart. Because we know Him. May God help us to have our heart affected by what we see in our country, in our families, in our nation, in our churches. Because it's a sad state that we're living in. And the next generation is going to get worse. The two that will be running for president, they don't have the answer. One's already proven he don't have the answer. And the other one, he will not have the answer. Well, if it had been this one, no, he wouldn't have the answer either. Well, if my man had won, it had been better. No, it wouldn't be better. Well, if this one would get it, no. You see, I personally believe that we're under the judgment of God. If we're not, we will be. Hey, no, preacher. Read it. And if we are, the only way it's ever going to return, if my people who call by my name, that's the only way. It's not going to be in the White House. It's going to be in the church house. It's going to be the house of God. It's not going to be in the house down in D.C. It's going to be in the house of God all across this country that believes God. I'm not talking about this bunch of junk that goes on that don't believe the Lord. I'm talking about people like us. Well, we can make a difference. Can you turn the tide? I don't know. But I can sure live better than I have. And you can live better. We all can have more joy and have more peace if we just turn it all over to the Lord. May God help us to be committed to serve Him. Until He comes. It could be today. Let's stand together this morning.